Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. And as we always say, we're so glad to have you here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8-ish. And we are excited tonight because we are focusing on the Word of God, on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we're asking that you would join us tonight. I'm going to start us off with prayer, and as always, we'll have a song and scripture and then an intercessory prayer before we begin. Let us get started. God, we come before you, and we ask in a special blessing tonight. Lord, we are deep into the book that you have shared with us to reveal Jesus the Christ, the King and Conqueror, the one who has been given the scrolls, the one who has the deed to the world in his hands. And as we worship and praise and glorify his name, and we want to have clear revelation knowledge, we ask that everyone who is here tonight be endowed with the Holy Spirit so that they can speak from their hearts and grow in their hearts and minds to become more like you. We pray for that, oh God. And then as we learn, we would reach out and share what we've learned with others. We thank you for tonight's study. We thank you for the lead teacher, Brother Eric Jefferson. And we ask that you help him as well. Understanding, oh God, that as we come with differing opinions, differing backgrounds, and wanting to know. For the word says, come, let us reason together. And that's what we're doing. So we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit, that you would dwell with us, that you would celebrate with us, that all the people who come on the line tonight might be fed, and that the thousands who are listening will glorify your name. Yes, it's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 So we are going to listen to Because of Who You Are by Vicky Yohe.
Amen. Amen. So tonight's reading will be Ezekiel 2 and verse 1, finishing at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, finishing with Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 11. And the second reading will be Isaiah 65, 1 through 25. And these will go along with our scripture for the night, Revelation 10. This is Ezekiel 2, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And this is the New Living Translation. "Stand up, son of man," said the voice. "I want to speak with you." The Spirit came into me as he spoke and set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his words. "Son of man," he said, "I am sending you to the nation of Israel, a nation that is rebelling against me. The ancestors have rebelled against me from the beginning, and they are still in revolt to this very day. They are hard-hearted and stubborn people. But I am sending you to say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or not, for remember, they are rebels, at least they will know that they have had a prophet among them. Son of man, do not fear them. Don't be afraid, even though their threats are sharp as thorns and barbed like briars, and they sting like scorpions. But don't be dismayed by their dark scowls. For remember, they are rebels. You must give them my message whether they listen or not. But they won't listen, for they are completely rebellious. Son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not join them in being a rebel. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked and I saw a hand reaching out to me, and it held a scroll. He unrolled it, and I saw that both sides were covered with funeral songs, other words of sorrow and pronouncement of doom. The voice said to me, "Son of man, eat what I'm giving you. Eat this scroll. Then go and give its message to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll. "Eat it all," he said. And when I ate it, it tasted as sweet as honey. Then he said to me, "Son of man, go to the people of Israel with my message. I am not sending you to some foreign people whose language you cannot understand. No, I am not sending you to people with a strange and difficult speech. If I did, they would listen. I am sending you to the people of Israel, but they won't listen to you any more than they listen to me. For the whole lot of them are hard-hearted and stubborn. But look, I have made you as hard and stubborn as they are. I have made you as hard as a rock. So don't be afraid of them or fear their angry looks, even though they are such rebels." Then he added, "Son of man, let all my words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself. Then go to your people in exile and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Do this whether they listen to you or not." I read for you Ezekiel chapter 2, starting at verse 1, through Ezekiel chapter 3, ending at verse 11. The word of the Lord for the mission of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Am I reading the other one? Sorry.
Yes.
That will be
Ezekiel 65, 1 through 25.
Ezekiel or Isaiah?
Isaac.
I'm sorry, Isaiah 65, yes, Sister
okay.
Jones.
Isaiah?
No. Isaiah 65, 1 through 25.
1 through 25, okay, thank you. All right. The righteousness of God's judgment. And I am reading from the NRSVR, New Revised Standard Version. "I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessel, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord. But they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills. I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. Sharon shall become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down. For my people who have sought me, but you who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune, and fill cups of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you to the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen, but you did what was evil in my sight, and chose what I did not delight in. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. My servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. My servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. My servants shall sing for gladness of heart, but you shall cry out for pain of heart, and shall wail for anguish of spirit. You shall leave your name of my chosen to use as a curse, and the Lord God will put you to death. But to his servants he will give a different name. Then whoever invokes a blessing in the land shall bless by the God of faithfulness. And whoever takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of faithfulness. Because the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my sight. The glorious new creation. For I am about to create new heavens and new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, as its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that I live but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at the 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build They shall build houses and inherit them, inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the day of a tree shall not day of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Praise you.
It's time now for us to bring our cares before the Lord together. Lord, we come before you as a unified front. We come as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We bring our earthly cares and our worldly troubles to you. Who here tonight has some prayers and issues that they'd like to bring before the Lord?
This is Sister Shirley, and I'd like to have prayer for my brother-in-law who is getting ready to start chemotherapy tomorrow. And also for my mom to help her with her arthritis and just health for all of the world.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Is there anyone else who has considerations for the Lord tonight?
Yeah, this is Eric. I'd like to uplift my mom, her back issues, problems, determining that. What's the best way to resolve those? My Uncle WB, his dementia. My Uncle Wendell, who is in the nursing home, which contracted COVID, but he is mending. My niece, Sanan, who also contracted COVID in Indianapolis, and she is healing as well. And my Uncle Dwayne and his health issues as well. In this country, as we try to forge together under a new administration, and that we may get back to some civility and some semblance of a country that is working to benefit each other.
Amen.
Hear our prayer.
Brother Mateo, I'd like to get a prayer from my mother. My brother, my mother is going through some health issues, and I like to echo Brother Eric and pray for the whole world, but definitely for our country and our leaders right now, and for the people that tested a vaccine, a few of them died, so pray for their family. And I pray for the people, you know, to get wise to God's view, and that we all get wisdom. Just I'm praying for wisdom for us all in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hear our
prayer. Is there anyone else who has things to bring before the Lord tonight?
This is Dr. Susie. I ask that lift up my children, James and Sydney, and myself and our family as we face decisions, and ask for health and direction.
Amen.
Yes, Lord Jesus, hear our prayer.
This is Eric. I need to add one more I just got word of. I'd like for us to pray for the Willis family and the loss of a mother and grandmother. Family that's pretty close to me, and I just found out that the matriarch of that family has passed away, so I'd like to lift up the Willis family.
Amen.
Amen.
Are there others to bring before the Lord tonight? This is Brian from Maine. I have 3 married daughters and 7 grandchildren who I don't see often because of the COVID situation. And I understand firsthand, therefore, how that feels. So my prayer really and my prayer request is that the Lord bring people together in any virtual way or any way that works out so that the loneliness can be transcended. And I just ask that people are able to survive in this difficult time and continue to love each other and continue to just you know, find ways to share their day and just share their life with each other in the face of what's happening.
Amen.
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 Does anyone else have something?
Yes. I'd like to have, I'd like to request about this group, more power and more blessings and more understandings and lots of love. And understanding ourselves very close. It's just, actually what I'm trying to say is this Bible study that we're dealing with, we're going through, and it's an awesome blessing. And I could see it, I could feel it, I sense it, and I just want you guys to know, and I think I need to uplift that to the Lord as well. I'm grateful that He is showing the love that we have over here.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Amen.
It's all.
Okay. Let's bring these very, very serious concerns before the Lord tonight. Lord, we bring our families before you. In our family groups, there are many things going on. There's loneliness, there's troubles, there's people experiencing pain for many different reasons, people facing medical challenges of all types. And these are the people who are closest to us, who we love and think about daily. Lord, we just bring these prayers before you of all these individuals who you know full well, who they all are and everything that's happening. We just ask that their medical issues be dealt with in the best possible way and that many people be given everything they need for treatment and love and support and help to minimize their problems as they go through these medical challenges. Lord, we also know people who are grieving, and grieving is one of the most painful things that we as human beings do. And we just ask that grieving people in our sphere of friends and relatives be given encouragement and love through your Holy Spirit. May they feel comfort and may they feel your grace at this time. Lord, we all need wisdom. A lot of things happening in our country, a lot of which we understand, some of which just befuddles us and confuses us. But you know everything that's going on to the number of the hairs on each head of all the people involved. And we just ask for protection from evil. We are able to discern good from evil. And the actions of the evil one as he builds his kingdom, and the grace and love that comes from Jesus as his kingdom is built. We just ask we're able to discern these and that we're able to identify them in our life and in the life of those around us every day, and that we can bear witness in ways that makes a difference for people and brings them closer to you just with our life and our actions and our daily walk. Lord, we do ask for protection for especially children, protection from diseases and from evil and from injury. And we just ask that people who can protect them be given the power and the insight and the foresight to be able to help the children who are around them. And Lord, we also pray that this group who has come together for a purpose, because God brings his people together for a purpose. The fact that we're in this Bible study together is no coincidence, because under Jesus Christ there are no coincidences. There are only reasons and there are only outcomes that will please the Lord that can come from this kind of a study and this kind of a group. And Lord, we just ask that we are able to do that, and we're able to discern why we're together, what we're doing, and how it's going to move forward in a way that pleases you. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
As always, we're so grateful for the fact that we come together of different backgrounds and different spiritual understandings, and we come unified to praise God. And so I just want to take a second. You know, if we could just take a moment and everybody just praise God for what God has done, is doing, and is going to do. Let's just praise him right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy, 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 Lord. Oh, Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We
praise you, Lord, God Almighty. Praise you, Lord.
Glorify you, God, because you've been so good to us. There's nothing that we've done of ourselves, oh God, but because you are worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. I just want you to know, if you can't praise him down here, you sure better not go to heaven, because that's all they're going to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to your name. Holy, 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 Lord, thou art mighty. Mighty, mighty, mighty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being so awesome to me, Lord. Thank you for watching over me and waking me up this morning. And thank you, Lord, for giving us another day, because you could have said we were all going to hell because we didn't believe. Lord, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would bless us all. Forgive us of our sins and start us in the direction that you want us to go. Lord, that you would strengthen each and every person on this line. Protect us from hurt, harm, danger, or any COVID, any type of disease, because, oh God, you are greater than anything that whatever we face.
Yes.
And so we come before you knowing how mighty and glorious and wonderful and powerful you are. And
yes,
we
you
trust
are.
Everything to you. Everything,
yes,
God. We
thank
give it all
Lord.
To you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise you.
You know,
praise you,
I don't know about you guys, but having had this Bible study, I can't not praise God anymore. I mean, the reality is the Bible says that they stopped heaven for 30 minutes, but prior to that, they praise him all the time.
Amen.
So we need to understand that we have to become praisers of the Holy Most High.
Right. Praise and
thank you, God, for being so wonderful. And you know, it's not an emotional thing. It's not. It's what's required.
Amen.
It is required.
Amen.
It's required.
We are born to worship.
Amen.
Amen. So as we come tonight, you know, we're glad to have everybody in the house. I hear everybody. Can we do a roll call quickly before we get started?
Shirley from Bowie, Maryland.
Amen. We missed you, Shirley, last week.
Hey,
I missed you all too.
Brother Mateo from Maine.
Brother Mateo,
greetings,
we miss
brother.
You too.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, with that in line, we know who all is here tonight. We have several people on the line who are going to be quiet and they just want to listen, and we give them the right to do that. But if you all should decide that you want to talk, just simply follow the, we kind of have a little protocol. We say Dr. Susie from Maine, or wherever you, your name and where you're from, so that we can get accustomed to your voice and learn who you are in the group.
Amen.
So we thank God for you being with us tonight. And we will, at the end of our program, invite and have an invitation to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're asking tonight that you would listen in a way that you would be attentive to your own personal sense of awareness, asking questions about what is God saying to me as I listen to this Bible study and engage. Also, feel free to send any kind of emails to us at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com, and we will answer the questions the following week and get back with you. So, again, we ask that you, you know, continue to be in prayer. Right now we're going to go with Brother Eric is going to take us into the next book of Revelation. And if you're ready, Brother Eric, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie, and glad to be with all of you, and knowing that, you know, just a little point of privilege here, just a little bit. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 10. And this is another one of those interludes as God is carrying out his judgment. We know that he also had an interlude there between the sixth and seventh seal that was being broke, where we got a chance to look at the souls up under the altars, the martyrs who asked the question, how long would it take God before he avenged them? And then we also got a chance to look at those who were on the earth then who had not accepted Jesus as the Savior and God's authority, and that they were trying to have the hills and the mountains fall on them because they wanted to escape God's wrath. And so we know that God, throughout this process, throughout the beginning of time, has always been trying to show man mercy and grace and get mankind and humanity to understand that he's in control and give them a chance to come and accept his authority. But before we go into 10, I just wanted to, none of us thought when 2020 came in that it would be this kind of year. We were coming off of 2019 and, you know, all was well, and, you know, we was all 2020 is going to be a great year, and, you know, everybody's talking about the stock market and, you know, the economy and all of that kind of stuff was going on. And then all of a sudden, God is like, you know what, y'all just too carefree. You know, I don't think you're paying attention. I don't know that you know that I am God, and that all of that stuff that you, these false idols mm-hmm. that you have built up, knowingly or unknowingly, I need you to understand who's in charge. And so we hear about this virus that none of us had heard about before. We know it's on the back of the candidate, you know, Lysol candidate, stops, kills the virus and all that, but none of us knew what it was. And it was such a radical virus that it really stopped the world in its tracks. And it still has the world stopped in its tracks, but mankind as he is, who's stubborn and hard-headed, is trying to plow through. And God is saying you can't plow through. You just can't. You've got to recognize the sovereignty of God. And I know that the people on this line tonight understand that. But I don't know if y'all understand that this recording will be replayed to thousands of other people throughout the world. Correct, Dr. Susan?
Yes. That's right.
And they may not understand that. So I want to take just a moment to read the 91st book of Psalm, and then I'll go into the lesson tonight. This is the 91st book of Psalm. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare of the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with his wings. He will shelter you with his feathers. His faithful promise are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plague that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000s are dying around you, these evils will not touch you, but you will see it with your own eyes, you will see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your dwelling, for he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you with their hand and keep you from striking your foot on the stone. You will trample down lions and poisonous snakes. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue them and honor them. I will satisfy them with long life and give them my salvation.
Amen.
That is
Amen.
The promise of the Lord.
Yes.
For those who live in the shelter of the Most High.
Amen.
Thanks be to God for his gracious
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
But we can't say that about those who aren't gonna follow, who aren't gonna seek
right.
the Lord, and who aren't gonna live in the shelter of the Most High.
Right.
As we studied last week in Revelation 9, the fifth and the sixth trumpet blast, we saw the horde of demons that were released from the bottomless pit. They were like a horde of locusts devouring and causing great pain and suffering for mankind. They didn't have the power to kill them, but they had the power to torment them for 5 months. And we talked about
five.
Had anyone ever been stung by a scorpion to feel what that pain was like, but none of us had experienced that. And so I can only imagine that the worst pain that I've ever had magnified probably by 100-fold would be what that's like, and that wouldn't be good. And we see that happen with the fifth trumpet blast. And then we go to the sixth trumpet blast, and we see 200 million mounted troops riding horses with faces like lions and tails like snakes that had the power to kill a third of the people on earth. And so realize this. After the sixth trumpet blast, half of the population has been killed, excluding the ones that have accepted Jesus Christ through this time of tribulation, who have been taken up to heaven, as well as 144,000 Jewish people that had the seal put in their forehead. Half of the world's population has been killed because they have yet not accepted Christ as Master and Savior and God and his sovereign authority. And so tonight we go into one of those interludes that God has not sounded, has not allowed the seventh trumpet to blast, but he wants us to get an insight into his mercy and his goodness and understand that God's plan will be carried out.
Yes.
As the old folks used to say, come hell or high water.
Amen.
There's no stopping it. You know, there was that song of McFadden and Whitehead, I believe, ain't no stopping us now, we on the move. Well, ain't going to be no stopping God's authority here and his plan here. And
Amen.
This is what Revelation is about. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ and God's plan for mankind. But we here know the end story. God wins, and if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you are victorious too. But here's an opportunity for us to be a witness to those who have not accepted that.
Amen.
So, if someone could read for me Revelation 10, 1 through 7.
I saw still another mighty angel coming down. I'm reading from the King James Version. This is Sister Shirley. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, and his declared, and he declared to his servant the prophets.
Thank you, Sister Shirley. So, we see another angel. We see another angel. We see one who is, this is the trans. This is the New Living Translation. It said, saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven surrounded by clouds with a rainbow over its head. Anybody, what do you think the rainbow signified? Anybody remember back in Genesis?
Promises.
Remember back in Genesis when we first see the rainbow and hear about the rainbow? Anybody remember that?
On Genesis?
Around Genesis 9, I think it is. What God said after he destroyed the earth by water?
Oh, yeah.
And he set the bow in the clouds, the rainbow in the clouds, to remind him that he wasn't going to do that again to mankind?
Yeah.
So it's another one of God's promises. And so the angel is saying, you know, God is still letting you know what he said and what he's done. And, you know, so don't despair. All this other stuff has been going on. But God is still true to his word and to his promises. So all the stuff that you're enduring is not water related, other than, you know, a third of the water being not drinkable, people dying of thirst, but it's not water related. So God is still true to his original promises. And that's important to us, because whatever promise God has made to mankind, God is going to fulfill that promise. And we can be sure of that. And that should give us great joy, because Christ told us what that is.
Right.
And so his face shone like the sun, and his feet was like the pillars of fire, in his hand had a small scroll. So he still has some of these characteristics that we read in chapter 1 that John was relating, that when he saw the Son of Man in heaven, the brilliance, the splendor, the glory. But this isn't Jesus. This is an angel who has a specific duty. And so he has this book, and he stands. So what do you think the reference of his left foot was on the land and his right foot was on the sea? Anyone, what do you think that reference is there?
This is John.
Power on both?
Ah, well, what was that again?
Did he have power on both the land and sea?
Yeah, power on both on land and the sea. Okay, Sister Joan, what do you got?
It's almost like that, but I would say that my understanding of that is whatever that he read in the scroll, it's commanded in the water and it's commanded on the land.
It's commanding on everything. He's showing that he has authority.
Mm-hmm.
He has the authority has been given to him to carry out what it is that he's doing.
Mm, right.
It's kind of like I used to be a real history buff, and so you know, back in the knights and the kings days, if the knight took a message from one king to the king of another country, he didn't just go and say, well, King so-and-so sent me, so I'm here to tell you, you know, X. He normally had to have authority to do that, and back then they had authority that they would write it down and then they would seal it.
Right, with the king's seal.
Right. By the king.
Right, when the king, right, and the king had to put his signature, his signet,
his seal on there.
On the document. Normally they, melted some wax, made this little puddle on it, and then sealed it. And so when the knight arrived or the messenger arrived, he would give it to the king, and he'd look at the signet and then realize it was from the king.
Right.
So this angel has been given authority, and the fact that he can stand with one foot on earth and one foot on land, the land and water, and stand in heaven, meant that he was given authority by God who created all of this.
Right.
To deliver this message. So he's not delivering this message of his own accord. And we know from empirical study and reading that angels were created for specific jobs for God and all of that. So he's letting them know that he has the authority. He's roaring like a lion, fierce and all of that. But then I want to get into four. When the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but the voice from heaven called to me, "Keep secret what the seven thunders said. Do not write it down." Anybody, because it doesn't tell us what they said. It doesn't tell us what the seven thunders said. It clearly doesn't tell us that in this reading. But I just want to know someone's thought about what you think they could have been saying, given everything that we've studied thus far and everything that we do know about Revelation. What do you think they uttered?
The roaring. Do you know that he was the roaring? The as he speaks and he shouts, and it sounds like a roaring lion. And always.
Yeah, that
kinda,
that was the angel that gave that shout in like a roaring of lion. And it says when he shouted, the seven thunders answered.
Yes.
What do you think they answered with?
The seven seals.
The seven seals?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we've gone through the seven seals, and he's told not to write it down. So it's got to be something that deals with God's plan. But they don't want it spoken at this point. What do you think it is, and why do you think they don't want it spoken at this point? Why do you think they don't want to write? Remember, because what John is writing is going to be given to the seven churches as well as the church as a whole later.
There you go. Yeah.
Come on, Brother Mateo. I know you got something. What do you, and we don't know, so there is no wrong answer. I'm just trying to get us to think about this, and we know what God is trying to, we know what God is doing based on what we've been reading. And we know that God is still trying to get people's attention so that they don't perish. So what do you think the seven thunders might have answered with? What do you think that was?
This is Joan in Maine.
Yes, Joan.
you guys are making me think. I have this imagination as you're telling it. I believe the seven sounds remind us of the churches. A warning to the churches. Remember, each one has the warning, what they do. They have flaws, but, and the thing that he always amplifies is that repent, repent, repent. But there are the worst ones. So I believe he's giving us a chance. The held back was, it will give them a chance because we really don't know what's going to happen. if there are, because what he wanted to do is save all the people, if possible. So that's the way I think about it. It may be depending on how we, the people, to know if we all bow down and say, yes, Lord, you are God, the creator of heaven and earth. We are here as your servant. Tell us what we do. And that's the way I look at it. Why it held back, and what was the seven, and the seven represents the church, and how the people be, because he has a good heart. He gives us hope. To me, that was a hope after all this wrath going around.
Okay, yeah, and I'm trying to make you think, and so I want to refer us back to Daniel 12. At the time, Michael the archangel, who stood guard over your nation, will rise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since the nation first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book of life will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contentment. Those who are wise will shine as bright as the stars, and those who turn many to righteousness will shine like stars forever. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret, seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will rush here and there, and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked and saw two others standing on the opposite banks of the river. One of them asked the man dressed in linen, who was now standing above the river, how long will this be until these shocking events happen? The man dressed in linen who was standing above the river raised both his hands toward heaven and took this solemn oath by the one who lives forever. It will go on for a time and a half time. When the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end, all these things will have happened. I heard what he said, but I didn't understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is for the time of the end. Many will perish, many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. But the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means.
Yes.
So these seven thunders, Daniel was told not to seal up a prophecy as well, just as John is here. And I can only imagine that the seven thunders are answering about God's plan and how it's going to end. And yet, the voice from the altar, which I believe to be Jesus, it's my belief, I believe to be Jesus, saying, no, if they haven't followed and studied the book and studied the prophets, I don't need them to hear it now. Because they're still not going to do what they need to do. And so it's all just going to play out until I show up. Because at this point, Jesus hadn't ascended to the earth during these tribulations. We've not read anywhere where Jesus has ascended to the earth. We've seen the angels, we've seen the demons, we've seen the destroyer, but we haven't seen Jesus yet. And so John, who realizes that he is writing this for the church, for people to study, wants to say, oh, well, let me get it down, so let me give them another opportunity. And the Lord is saying, no, I don't need you to write down what's getting ready to go on, because they should already know.
Amen.
If we truly study this book, we already know everything that is going to happen. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we already know. We read in Isaiah 65 that Isaiah was sent to tell the people of Jerusalem and Judea what was going to happen if they didn't repent. God wanted them to hear it so that they would then repent and come to God and worship him in spirit and in truth, and not idols, and not the stoniness of their heart. And so the seven thunders want to reveal that, and John wants to write it, But the king is saying,
this
nope.
is Dr. Susie.
Yes.
I just wanted to sound back in, and brothers, those of you who were offline, I'm back on the studio so you can talk now. Brett and Mateo.
Okay.
Thank you,
Dr. Susie.
And also Margaret.
Okay, Margaret.
Can
Mr.
I talk?
Margaret.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes,
yeah, we can
there.
Hear you now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this is Brett.
Okay,
also.
So yes.
No, I agree with you, but until you said what you said, I thought that this angel that was able to stand on both land and sea was probably the highest archangel that God has. And that's why he was able to do what he does, because he was serving God, the Father.
Yes, and he's showing his authority to be able to do so.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But these seven thunders utter these words, phrases, or whatever they utter, and John wants to write that down, and a voice from the altar says, nope, don't write that down. And I'm trying to get somebody to tell me what they and we don't know what it is. We absolutely don't know for 100% what they said, because it doesn't tell us. But given what God is doing, what we know the nature, the reason that God is doing what he's doing, what do you think they would have said? And I submit to you that they were getting ready to say what else was getting ready to go on, and the king says, no, don't tell them, because they should already know. I've been telling them all along. I've been telling them since creation all along what's going to happen if you do not return to me, if you do not worship me, if you do not understand my sovereignty. This is what you can expect.
This is Dr. Susie. You know, we often talk about how we use the prophetic books to also help to give clarity to revelation. And so I remember, and we keep using the reference of Ezekiel. Remember in Ezekiel when he told him to eat the scroll? Remember
right.
when his call even? You remember the call when he was told to eat?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, here we see it again. But
right.
every time you eat, it's sweet, but it gets sour in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing to me when it talks about how John, he could see these words on the scroll, and he, you know, could see it in the angel's hand. As you said, it was symbolizing
right.
that this prophetic message was for everybody, for the whole world. And this angel shouting, ooh, you know, and we've seen the before where we talked about the phenomenal sound of the sea. I think that was you,
mm-hmm.
Eric, that talked about how strong the sea sounded. But can you imagine that power? And, you know, John, beloved John, he didn't know what he was going to have to deal with. Lord, have mercy. The man done cried so much. He's been whining through this. He gets to see all this stuff. And, you know, I'm just like, Lord, thank you. My name ain't John. Because this is some tough stuff. I mean, this is a place of honor. I'm not putting him down. This is a place of honor. But this is a challenge, you know, that he's having to bear. He's bearing a whole lot. So I got to give John some kudos, because he is a tough brother. But when he says, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down, you know, the seven thunders, you know, what did y'all say that was?
We have not labeled it. It's the seven thunders. It could be the seven spirits of God. It could be, you know, it doesn't tell us. And in no commentary that I read, do they actually identify what that is?
They don't name it. They keep it a mystery.
Right. But the fact of the matter is that they utter something that John finds to be profound, because he wants to write it down. But he's told not to. And I'm right. just trying to get us to imagine what that might be. I'm not saying it doesn't tell us. It never tells us what that is. But if we study the word and we know what God's character is and we know what God is trying to do, and we've been studying that in Revelation, but we've also studied in the rest of the book, I really think that the seven thunders and everybody, because remember, the scroll was open in heaven that everyone in heaven could see it. That we talked about the 30 minutes of silence after the breaking of the
yeah.
seventh seal.
Right.
Yeah.
We could see everything that was on it. And we know that that's God's plan. That's God's authority given to Jesus Christ. So they could mm-hmm. see everything that was on there, and it left them speechless for 30 minutes. And so now the seven thunders are saying, "Hold, let you know here. This is an interlude. Hold, let John. Let me tell you what you. Let me give you some more insight on what's getting ready to happen." And John wants to write it, and the voice from heaven says, "No, don't write that down." And I
yeah.
really believe that they wanted the church to know what else was going to befall them, but the king is saying, "No, I'm not telling them anymore." all of us are kids, and we all have parents, and I know my grandmother, bless her heart, would say, "I'm not telling you that anymore."
Your grandmother is.
I'm not telling you that anymore.
Right. Well, how many times do I have to tell you? Right.
Right, right.
Well,
but finally they would say, "I'm not telling you that again."
Right, right.
And you knew what that meant, right?
Right, and don't ask.
Oh,
me.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You knew, if
so,
they said, "I'm not telling you that again," you knew what that meant.
But let me read I want to read this, what my commentary says. It says, "When the angel shouted in verse 3, seven thunders spoke, and John proceeded to write down their words. But he is interrupted and is commanded, 'Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down.'" Verse 4. Conceivably, this might have been another series of sevens. Either the seven thunders were intended for John's own illumination and were not essential to the main vision of the seven trumpets, or the reference is designed to strike a note of mystery with reference to God's revelatory activities. As the visible portion of an iceberg is only a small part of the iceberg, most of what is hidden from man's sight. So God's disclosure reveals only part of his total being and purpose. And to me, that makes it kind of clear. You know, the iceberg analogy is real clear. You know, we only get the portion that's visible. It's a whole lot coming. It's still left.
Yes.
Whole lot of knowledge.
And that's what I'm alluding to. This is Eric. That's what I'm alluding to is that he wants to write it down because he wants them to truly understand what's getting ready to happen. And the Lord's like, "No, I've been telling them all along. All along, I've been telling them since creation what would happen if you continue to deny me, if you didn't accept my son as your savior, if you didn't accept my sovereignty and my authority, if you kept on, you know, with your sinfulness, your idolatry, and all of those things that you're doing. This is what's going to happen." And the king says, "No, John, don't write it down. Don't tell." Because remember, if John writes it down, then it appears in the text that we're reading.
Right.
Yeah. Hammer time.
Right.
Hammer time.
So
and that
anybody
could
know
have
what hammer time
that,
means?
That, yeah, yeah.
It could have been what the seven thunders were saying.
I don't know, man, I can't even remember the name of that movie, but there was two of them. That released the Kraken. The Kraken was the most feared animal that had been chained.
Yeah.
Yeah, so release the Kraken,
Titan.
Right?
The Titan.
Yeah.
The Titan. That's what it was. The
yeah,
Titan and
the
Titans, right. Clash of the Titans, right. Well,
right.
I believe that the phrase that they uttered would be as Hammer Time released the Kraken. And the angel was saying, "No, don't tell them that."
This is John in Maine. It's being said now, you know that. Even though they're just saying Kraken, but it's being mentioned.
But the piece that's visible, there's a visible piece, and there's a hidden piece that's not mentioned, yes.
Right.
That's why we gave the iceberg analogy, because you only see pieces of it, a piece of it. That's give you a clue that it's more.
Right, right.
Right.
Well, may I add this one as we are talking about I guess discipline almost, and this is what I came about on a Proverbs 23:12. It says, "Remember what you are taught, and listen carefully to word of knowledge. Don't fail to punish children. If you spank them, they won't die. If you spank them, you will save them from death." A discipline.
So what you're saying is, in the case of Revelations, because God tried to discipline them so that they would turn around.
Yes.
And would save them from death.
Okay.
Is that the connection you're making?
Yeah. Yes, because everything is actually what I'm saying. The reason why I can relate to this is because that's what God has been doing to me anyways. And I've been, he's been nudging me like forever, and I don't understand. Now I could really say that. At first I'm like, what the heck is going on here, you know? But then I realized that it's because of my stubbornness, and I don't have anybody inform me or any train me on this matters. I have no guidance at the time. I taught my own self. But this, because of this Bible study, as I said, it had taught me a lot of things and more focus to it. And I realized now what he was trying to do was to discipline me, to learn what I am, what I have been, why I'm stubborn, why I keep falling down, why I'm running around on a mountain 40 times, just like Moses did with the Israelites. So why am I keep falling the same way, you know, and risk representing what was that? And I realized that because of the authority that I have been with that I'm not respecting, I lost the trust. So authority I don't listen to. But I think God understand me to the point where now I see this discipline. You need to be, you have to study everything first and understand that. So he stopped, and I can relate it so much right now. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll study you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we at 8:11.
Yeah, Brett.
This
yeah.
is Brett. Yeah. I think the answer to what was said is here in the next section. I'm going to start, if you don't mind, at 3, it says, "He gave a great shout like a lion roaring. And when he shouted, the seven thunders sounded. And when the seven thunders had sounded, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Then the angel who I saw standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it." Now here's the key. It says, "There will be no more delay." So I think that the seven thunders were saying, it's game time. It's on.
So yeah, right. I this is Eric. I agree, but I also think that they expounded a little more on what the game was going to look like.
Now you know that what they said couldn't be written down, because what would we say if we knew something like that?
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that God has already been showing us and talking to us and telling us through the prophets and telling us through his word, telling us through Jesus when Jesus walked the earth, What would happen if you didn't conform, if you didn't accept, if you didn't realize the authority of God and his sovereignty and accept Jesus as a person? He's been telling us all along. And the seven thunders are now saying, okay, so you've been through the seven seal plagues. We're into the seven trumpet plague. And what's going to happen next will be X, Y, Z. And the voice is saying, no,
so we ain't even
going
to talk about it no more. We don't even need to talk about it no more.
Remember, like I told you, your mom and your dad say, no, I'm not going to tell you that again. I'm not going to tell you about that again.
There you go.
And you knew what was going on. And you knew what was going to happen after that.
Yep, somebody blew the whistle. It's game time.
Right. So he takes his play, and he said, there's not going to be any more delays. And remember the martyred souls under the altar that asked, Lord, how much longer are you going to wait before you chastise the world for what they've done to us?
Here it is.
And he tells them, and what did he say? He said, rest a little longer till the rest of your brothers and sisters have gone through what they need to go through, and they arrive, right?
Amen. Amen.
So he announces that God's mysterious plan, this is seven. But when the seven angels blows his trumpet, God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled. It will happen just as he announced it to his servants, the prophets. And I'm going to read through 11. I'm going to read through 11 because we want to get to John, in the interest of time, we want to get to John and the scroll. Then the voice from heaven called to me again, go and take the unrolled scroll from the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. Excuse me. So I approached him and asked him to give me the little scroll. Yes, take it and eat it, he said. At first it will taste like honey, but when you swallow it, it will make your stomach sour. So I took the little scroll from the hands of the angel, and I ate it. It was sweet in my mouth, but it made my stomach sour. Then he said to me, you must prophesy again about many people, nations, language, and kings. So we know Isaiah had to eat the scroll.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
Why do you think it's sweet in his mouth but sour in his stomach?
Because the word of God is, this is Dr. Susan, the word of God is a joy. And unfortunately, they had to proclaim judgment. And so here comes the judgment, the bitterness, it's in the stomach, is, you know, that oracle of judgment, the unpleasant taste, the message of wrath, woe. So, it's mixed with joy and comfort and gloom.
And the wrath is for those who what?
Oh, my goodness.
The same thing you've been saying the last 10, 15 minutes.
Well, I just want to make sure nobody went to sleep on me.
Okay. Yeah, it just, you know, it's time, it's hammer time. It's time now. It's coming.
All right.
Get ready, T.D. Jakes say. Oh, you've been too late, I guess.
there's another significance that one of the commentaries I read said that at this point, God is also recommissioning John for the work that he has him to do.
For the church. Yeah.
Right.
Some say the sweet scroll is a message for the church before the triumph, you know, the believers are going to pass through the formidable ordeal. So the little scroll unveils that the lot of the faithful during those days.
After the 666, this is 777. Oh, sorry, this is Joan and Man.
Okay, so it's a Joan.
I'm thinking. Well, I forgot. I didn't realize that I put
a
mute.
It's okay.
So John is real obedient. He takes the scroll. He eats it. It tastes like, as Dr. Sue say, like honey, because God's word is sweet and true. And it's sour because there is judgment if you don't follow God's word.
Right. Yes.
There is punishment. I mean, that's just reality of it. God is sovereign and holy, and he told us that we should be holy. We're made in his image. We're made in his likeness, so we're supposed to be holy too.
Amen.
And so there's this sourness and this bitterness, just as it was for Isaiah Ezekiel, when he had to eat the scroll.
This is Joan in Maine.
Powerful.
I'd like to ask you. I have an idea that come up. That sweet coming out, I mean, when you swallow, it's sweet, but when you get to the stomach, it's bitter. It's the same thing how we do it. We know that it is wrong. We still go ahead and enjoy it, but we still do it knowing that it's wrong. It's fun for the meantime. Some of them is temporary. Some of them a long time. Yet, but when the time comes, as what Chaplain Susie is, the judgment comes, there will be a consequence.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. I got a question too. This is Dr. Susie, and we're running out of time. But I would like everybody on the line tonight to make one statement about what it is that is a take-home for them. What in this chapter has changed the way you understand this week's lesson? Something that you'll never let go that you learned this week. Can everybody share that? And don't reintroduce something new. Let's just talk about what we've already mentioned. So who's going to start? Brother Mateo, where are you? He gone. He dropped out. Okay. So how about Sister Margaret? You've been quiet. Sister Shirley.
I've taken the sweetness of God's word and to follow it and to understand it, especially when he has told it to us through his word. And then when you don't follow it, the consequences of that, the bitterness of it. Are you able to withstand the bitterness by not following God's word?
Amen. Amen.
Woo.
Nope. Can't stand the bitterness.
Nope.
Well, Brett, you want to go next? That's awesome, Sister Shirley.
Amen.
What did you get from it, Brett? That helped you.
Well, it's something that I've already learned, but as we grow in our faith, we will come to an understanding that God is everything.
Yeah.
He's so powerful, so inclusive, that he is the sovereign. And we have to understand that. Once we understand that, then we can give ourselves more freely to him, because we know he has us in the palm of his hand. Because he said, once you become a Christian, he will never leave you. So you have already taken the steps that you need to take. Now you just have to live the life. And one of the things is by reading the book of Revelation, it tells me what is about to come. So anything that I see, I don't jump to conclusions that this is the last day, because we really don't know when the last day is going to be. But like I've been telling people, now you got to chase the way it's going to be when Satan has the opportunity to rule this world for so many years. You know, if you're still living during that time, hey, you already know what's coming, but it's going to be worse.
Amen.
So that's what I got out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Who's next?
This is Brian from Maine. One of the things that I always get out of this passage and this chapter is that even though the Lord tells us a lot of things, reveals a lot of things, warns us of a lot of things, promises us a lot of things. There's always something that's left for faith alone. So I've always believed one of the reasons he doesn't tell us what happens with the seventh or what the seventh said is it leaves it to faith. It leaves something out there that we still need to grab onto and rely on the Lord for and not know, but know that it's coming.
Right.
Another aspect of that is that when the Lord, either through his angels or himself, says something, things happen. There's power in the word. He can speak things into existence. He can destroy with a word. He can change with a mutter or an utterance. So when he speaks, something happens. And he just didn't want us to know what's going to happen when the angel spoke what he was commanded to speak, because it's going to bring something into existence at that moment, and we're not ready for it. It has to be left to faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, before you go, I just want to take this about 30 seconds here to read this and let this marinate on our hearts.
Before you leave, before you close out, there's a 352 number. Would you like to have something to say before the night's over? Because you've been quiet. If not, that's quite all right.
Okay,
all right,
doctor,
then.
Let me read this.
I gave everybody a chance. Brett, did all y'all want to talk? Because Eric's going to close out.
Now,
right.
I'm getting ready to read. I'm getting ready to read this, and you're going to close out, as always, sister.
Now, what I'm saying is that we won't be saying anything else after you get through. So go ahead.
Okay. First, much of God's truth tastes sweet and is pleasant to hear. However, whether or not it tastes sweet depends solely on our response to God. Those who know him and have trusted him for salvation should have no fear of the coming judgment. Be encouraged by the reality of God's promises and hope for your future. Second, some of God's plans are hard to accept. His judgment, trial, and afflictions are bitter to those who have no hope in God. Many cannot see or understand God's greater good as it will be ultimately accomplished through these events. They live in a world filled with fear and hopelessness. And finally, all of God's ways are right and reliable, and we can trust him. Because God is sovereign, nothing is ever out of his control. And because he is good, we can be confident that he will use all things, even the deeds of evil men, to accomplish his ultimate purpose. Job's word resounds with this truth. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversary? The gospel of Jesus involves both good news and bad news. Although the gift of God's salvation by grace through faith is good news for those who trust Christ, it is bad news for those who refuse a personal relationship with him. Therefore, we must not only understand and accept the gospel ourselves, but also be able to explain the message to others.
Amen. Amen. Faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Faith. This is Dr. Susie. One of the things that jumped out at me tonight that was read says, then he added, son of man, let all my words sink deep into your heart first. Hello. Listen to them carefully for yourself. So God is, if anybody's been on the line listening tonight, that word is for you. For those of us who claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, before we go take it anywhere else, make sure we're listening first.
Amen.
Make sure it's strong in our hearts. And then we have to be careful not to just hold it See, what we mess up is we hold it and we come to do all this Bible study and don't open our mouths to tell nobody about what we learned.
Right. Amen.
There's some accountability.
Right. Yes.
So for those of you who are hearing this tonight, God is giving you another opportunity, as he was doing, reminding John for the people. They had one more time, and as Eric said, his grandma said, I ain't going to tell you no more after a while.
All right.
So
amen.
As the word comes forth in love, the sweetness of the word right now, where you can grasp it and just suck on it like honey and molasses and all the sweet things you think of. Don't wait until you have to deal with the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior tonight and you said in your heart that you believe in the Lord, you're confessing with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead and now sits at the right-hand side of the Father, if you believe that when you die you'll rise again and be with him, all you have to do is confess and say in your heart, Lord, I believe. I believe with all that I have that you died for me on Calvary. I believe with all of my heart that you rose again to set me free. I believe and I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. And so you have a relationship with God. We praise and celebrate with you. The angels in heaven celebrate with you. And we can all say, holy, 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 Lord thou God Almighty.
God Almighty.
A new child has been brought into the fold. Thank you, Jesus. And you are one of us. And so we invite you to get involved in a Bible-believing church, study the Word of God, and prepare, prepare, prepare. Get ready, get ready, get ready, TDJ said, because it's almost too late, too late, too late. Get ready, because God is in the process of moving us and bringing us to an understanding that we get sweetness.
Amen.
And we got bitterness that's coming.
Amen.
We ask these blessings now, oh God, that you would be with each and every one of us as we go through this day, as we go through this week, until we meet again on next Tuesday. Be with each and every one of us, protect us, and make sure that no hurt, harm, or danger, or virus impacts us.
Amen.
According to Jesus' name, mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
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 Brett.
Yes. Well, thank you for being with us this week. Next week, we'll be here at the same time from 7 to 8. And also, remember the phone number 646-478-4932. Dr. Susie is the show's host and moderator. Until next week, have a good one.
Blessings.
Everybody, good night.
Good night. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.